Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for tuning in. This is the sermon portion of the service when we open the scriptures and read the word of God and listen for what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. So if you have your Bible, let me invite you to open it to James chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 13 through 16. James 5, 13 through 16. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding and the doing of his holy word. Friends, today is Sunday, March 22nd. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is surreal, isn't it? Our whole situation. It feels a little bit like we're living inside of a George Orwell novel or something. You know, on the one hand, it's normal, right? We're at home or we're at work. We're doing a lot of the things that we normally would do. And yet at the same time, there's this very slowly unfolding emergency happening. And it feels to me a little bit like we're standing on the train tracks, and way off in the distance, there's this train coming toward us, and it's big and it's powerful, and there's not really any way we can stop it from coming, but it's happening really slowly. It's moving really slowly, and it still feels a ways off. And some days it feels like maybe we're overreacting, and other days it feels like maybe we are underreacting, and some days it's some of both. And so I know for me, this is strange and it's challenging. And so people are doing crazy things like hoarding toilet paper, right? As if toilet paper is some kind of magic that will save us from the coronavirus. My interpretation of that kind of behavior is people are grasping, right? They're reaching for something and they want something tangible in the midst of a situation that's so uncertain. Or they want to have control over something. Let me control how much toilet paper I have, because I have so little control over this situation. How are you doing with that? How's your anxiety? Mine's been up and down. Saturday a week ago was a really bad day. My anxiety was just through the roof. Since then, I've been praying more. I've been exercising more. And it's getting better. I'm trusting God a little bit more each day with this situation. But I want to encourage you to pay attention to those things and to know that God loves you and that God's going to see us, you and me and all of us, through this situation. Friends, today is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and we're continuing in our series. It's called Closer. And our theme verse for this series is from James chapter 4, verse 8. And it says this: come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Okay, two great things that we can do during this time. We can wash our hands and we can come closer to God. Okay, so wash your hands literally, do it frequently. Also figuratively, right? Let yourself be purified in your hands and in your heart by the love of God. Also come near to God, and the promise is he will come near to you. And so we're talking during the series about prayer and about how we can come closer to God in prayer, particularly while we are expected to be physically distant from other people, that we can come closer to God in prayer during this time. This situation is unprecedented, right? Most of us have never been through anything like this before. And yet, I want you to realize with me, this is not exactly new in terms of the history of the world. It'd be helpful, I think, for us to put this into perspective. And so I was looking this week, reading some things, and I found a website called the Gospel Coalition. They posted an article with a really timely quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is the author of a lot of good books, including The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and also one of the most important Christian thinkers of the 20th century. And C.S. Lewis lived through the atomic age, right? He lived through a time when people were afraid of the atomic bomb or how the atomic bomb might be used. And so he wrote something about that 72 years ago, and yet it seems just as relevant for us today. All you have to do is replace the phrase atomic bomb with the word coronavirus. Okay, so check this out. I found this really compelling. C.S. Lewis writes this: in one way, we think a great deal too much about the coronavirus. We ask ourselves, how are we to live in a coronavirus age? And he says, I'm tempted to reply, why? As you would have lived in the 16th century during the plague, or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the coronavirus. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. It's perfectly ridiculous, then, to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because there is now one more chance of premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. And then he says this, I love this. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by a coronavirus, let that virus, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things like praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about the virus. It may break our bodies, but it need not dominate our minds. Isn't that such a good word? Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for that word today. And so friends, the question is not whether we are going to die. Yes, of course, one day all of us are going to die. The question is, how shall we live? How shall we live? Are we going to live in fear, or are we going to live with the trust of God? Are we going to allow these present things to steal away our joy, or are we going to find joy in the unexpected blessings that are coming during this time? Will we take the time that the Lord has given us to come closer to Him in prayer? So the Bible reading today from James chapter 5, it's all about prayer. It's all about sin and about sickness and about healing. So look with me, James chapter 5, start at verse 13. It says, are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Okay, so friends, if you're suffering, pray about it. God is ready to hear from you. God will help you. But don't forget, you should also sing songs when you're cheerful, right? So these are hard days, but it's not all gloom and doom. There's good things, there's joy, there's blessing. And so when you notice those things, celebrate. Sing songs of praise. Give thanks to God. Notice and be thankful to God for all the good that God is pouring into your life. Verse 14. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Sickness has always been a threat to the community, hasn't it? Even more so now. And it's a threat not only to our bodies, but I think we've begun to notice it's a threat to our relationships. We're told to practice social distancing, which needs to mean physical distancing, but it doesn't have to mean emotional distancing. And I think this is where some of us are starting to feel it. We're saying, I need to be around my friends. I need to be around my life group. I need to be around people that I love. And so illness threatens those relationships, doesn't it? Now think back with me to Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, this was a very common thing. There were certain groups of people who were isolated, kept away from the rest of the community. So I'm thinking particularly of those people with leprosy, right? People with leprosy were separated. And it wasn't just a physical arrangement. It was also a spiritual reality. They were social outcasts. Not only were not people not coming around them, but people were upset toward them, or angry toward them, or resentful of them, or dismissive of them. And so to have leprosy was not only to be separated physically, it was to be separated emotionally, to be separated spiritually from the community of faith. And so the role of the church is to pray, especially for the sick, especially for the outcast, especially for the lonely and those who are isolated, those who are by themselves. James says that we are to anoint one another with oil. And so the practice would have been to take some oil, olive oil on your thumb, and to put it on the person's forehead, maybe in the shape of a cross. Of course, this kind of physical touching is going to have to wait, right, until things settle down. But the point is the same, right? Oil in ancient days was medicine. Oil was a way of offering healing to the sick. And so anointing with oil is a reminder of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that God is the great physician, that God is the one who can heal us. And anointing is not only some physical thing, it's a spiritual reality in which the Spirit is being poured out, even as the oil is poured out, onto our heads, onto our minds, and our hearts, and our lives. Verse 15 and 16. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. What an incredible claim about the power of prayer, right? Isn't that amazing? The prayer of faith will save the sick. Hello. Anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. I love where it says, the Lord will raise you up. The Lord will raise you up. You see, friends, it's not merely the prayer that saves us, right? It's the one to whom we pray that saves us. And he will raise you up, especially when you are weighed down with the things of this world. When you're weighed down with fear, he will raise you up. And when you are weighed down with suffering, he will raise you up. And when you are weighed down with isolation and uncertainty and anxiety, he will raise you up. Brothers and sisters, the allusion here to Easter is unmistakable, right? When the Bible says raising you up, it is an unmistakable reference to resurrection. This is about resurrection. Jesus Christ is the one who has the power to heal and to forgive and to bless. And there is a day, friends, that is coming. And it might feel far off to us right now, but the day is coming. The Bible is clear about that. And Jesus will return. And he will say to his church, "Church, rise up." And the people of God will be raised. There will be a resurrection of the body. And there will be complete and total healing. All will be goodness and all will be peace. In the meantime, the Lord is raising up his church for the ministry of prayer and of healing. Do you hear me? The Lord is raising up his church. He's raising you up for this time, for this ministry of prayer and of healing. The ministry of Christ continues. Coronavirus or no coronavirus, we have a mission in the world. So what can we do, friends? What can we do? First of all, we can pray. Let me invite you to be creative with your prayer. Here's something you might consider. Do a prayer walk around your neighborhood, around your community. Stop in front of each home, in front of each doorway, and pray for the people who live in that place. Pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would forgive them. Pray that God would heal them. Maybe get on the phone and do a FaceTime or a Skype call with people you love, with your friends or with your family. Pray with them. Pray for them. We can always be in prayer together. Second, friends, strengthen your own faith. Please, please use the daily devotional that we are sending out. We've got a new devotional for this time. It's called Rooted. And it is designed to help you stay connected to God during this time of being apart from each other physically. And so we are sending that out every day by email. You can also see it on the website. Finally, friends, let me invite you to check on your neighbors, especially folks who are older, especially folks who've had illness or sickness. Please go check on them. Maybe they need food. Maybe they need you to bring medication. Go pick it up and bring it to them. This is a way that we can bless them. This is our time. This is our time. The world needs what we have now more than ever. Let us be a people who are bringing the needs of the world to God in prayer. Let us be a people who are bringing the blessing of God to the world in the name of Jesus. Last thing for you today. You ever seen the movie Apollo 13? Great movie. It's a cinematic retelling of the story of the aborted mission to the moon in 1970. And the lunar landing was waved off because an oxygen tank on the spacecraft exploded. And the astronauts on the Apollo craft radioed those famous words, "Houston, we have a problem." So my friend Amy posted this movie clip on Facebook a few days ago. Actor Ed Harris, he plays Gene Kranz, and Gene Kranz is the flight director. And Kranz overhears two of the guys discussing the low chance of survival for the crew. And one of them says, "It's going to be the worst disaster NASA has ever experienced." Things look bad, and I want you to listen for how Kranz responds to that. Check this out.
Copy that.
Is this my phone still present in the splashdown?
Yeah.
We got the parachute situation, the heat shield, the angle of the trajectory, and the typhoon. There's just so many variables, I'm a little lost.
I know what the problems are, Henry. This could be the worst disaster NASA's ever experienced.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
This could be the worst disaster we've ever experienced. Or it could be our finest hour. Let me be so bold, friends, to suggest that this is why we are here. This is why you and I are here. This is why God is sending the church, because the world needs what we have. The world needs peace. The world needs healing. The world needs Jesus. Give them some Jesus, please. Go out into the world and share Jesus. God bless you, friends. Amen. I'll see you soon.